I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome, 670 The Score fans. If you don't know my voice, my name is Tony Gill. And I like Game of Thrones. And this is what
that's
we're
going to... That's it? It's just Game of Thrones? Okay.
Yeah, and I like Game of Thrones. and so does everybody else at the Score. Well, a lot of people at the Score. We enjoy Game of Thrones, and it's going to be fun talking about it. And you're going to hear a different side of the personalities you normally hear on the radio and on various podcasts here. And it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great time. Along with me, as a part of our rotating cast, is Julie DeCaro.
Hello. Host.
From 10 to midnight, and operations manager Shane Reardon.
Oh, don't call me operations manager.
Oh, yeah.
That's Mitch's job. Yeah. He does not like when people accidentally call me operations manager.
It also sounds
manager.
Like you're a janitor.
Exactly. Just a sports director.
Sports director.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm below Mitch. Let's make that clear.
Okay. He is below Mitch. Okay. You're going to hear a lot of different voices on this podcast for the 6 episodes, I think. It's going to come out.
We're only getting 6 episodes?
Only 6. But they're long, though.
But aren't the last two? The first one was only an hour.
The first one was only an hour.
And it didn't start until like 9:06 or 8:06.
Yeah, because I sent out my All Quiet in the Realm tweet, and then we still had to wait for like 7 minutes.
Yeah. And it was wrapping up by 56. Yeah, so they cheated us on one. But I think the last two were like 90 minutes or 2 hours.
So it's understandable. And we're going to give you just our review and what our thoughts on every episode. Again, it's going to be rotating cast. You're going to hear different producers, our part-time producers. They're going to get in on this, a couple of different hosts. So it's going to be a fun time, and we're glad that you are checking us out. Please make sure to subscribe to the Best Of section, because that's where it's going to be. That's the home of this podcast. It's going to be in the Best Of 670 The Score section, and it should be out. I'm going to commit to it every Tuesday, Wednesday. That's when it's going to drop, Tuesday or Wednesday, because of circumstances, people didn't really see it until like the day after. So we had to wait before this came out. So
do we have a graphic?
No, it's going to be. In
I
the
think
best.
It should be, since you're the host, it should be your head on a wolf like they did with Robb Stark.
I don't know if they're going to get a graphic. I talked to Keith. And he's like, nah, just throwing.
Or his head on a spear outside of the Score studios.
Right.
You think we,
something with
we
Tony's
a,
head.
Do we have a green room in here?
No, but we have a green screen.
Okay.
Yeah, I can get you a green screen.
Okay. I think it'd be fun if everybody that wants to be involved in it got it. Because I've thought of it as a 670 Score thing.
You can have the logo for when you tweet it out, when you put it on Facebook, but subscribe to the Best Of section on radio.com and iTunes, right?
Yeah.
Take this sheet that Tony printed out for us with everyone's picture from Game of Thrones on it and just put different people's heads on it. Like, Shane can be Khal Drogo.
Yeah, you know what? Mm. People do tell me I look like Jason Momoa
do
very
they?
Often.
Really?
Just as handsome, same physical shape.
All right, we don't want to hold people too long, so let's get right into it. Episode number 1 of season 8.
Trash.
me and Shane have already discussed this via Twitter that he thinks that episode was trash. I love that episode from the start. And you are giving me a look, Julie.
Well, it was a scene setter episode. I mean, you have to get everybody back to where you are, and you've got to get everybody to Winterfell, right? So it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. The only thing that really happened was that at the end, Sam told Jon that he's a Targaryen, that he's Aegon Targaryen, who, by the way, in the books is someone completely different. But anyway, he's, you know, and that was it. And then it ended. So, I mean, it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was recap. It was scene setting and getting everyone in the same place.
Okay, but it was scene setting and recapping things we, as viewers, already knew. That's what my problem was with it. I got no problem with doing the scene setting recapping episode, but I want more. I wanted more blood.
I
wanted more action in the first episode.
More
set
blood.
All that stuff up. Fine. We learned one thing.
Umber kids stapled to the wall.
Nobody knows what that is.
Yeah, you did see somebody die.
Well, what was that? What is he screaming for? What's the connection?
He's a White Walker now.
Okay, well, that's ridiculous. So, the only thing we learned was that, like, we didn't expect Jon to ride on the dragon because that's reserved for Targaryens.
Well, duh.
So that was the only thing I didn't see coming. Mm-hmm. Everything else, we knew it was going to happen.
Also, the dragons look stupid in this episode. Very like, when they were making out and the dragon's, like, staring at him, it looked like a golden retriever. Like, that was stupid. I don't want dragons that look like my dog. I want real scary dragons.
What I appreciate about Game of Thrones and what I think is a top five show of all time
is.
Let's not get...
we go.
You made me lose my train of thought.
Game of Thrones is the Michael Red of HBO shows.
Whoa. The disrespect. The disrespect.
But, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you off track.
But the reason why I love it is because everything means something. Everything they show means something either for later on or just for that moment. I think that, I mean, we're kind of jumping around a little bit, but we're going to start at the beginning.
Yeah, I know.
You had
like nice like notes and everything set out, and then Shane and I just come in here and start yelling into the mic.
Sorry.
But that the significance of that scene, I think, is going to come back to a certain degree. We know, because of what Shane just said, that only Targaryens, I can't remember why only Targaryens can deal with dragons. I forgot the
specific. Because that's their sigil.
Keep talking.
They're dragon people.
They're
from Valyria. That's where the dragons come from, right?
That may be it. But that means something. And it's weird that Danny is not picking up on the clues that why do my dragons, who hate everyone, like him specifically?
Let me tell you something about Danny. Danny, first of all, I hate the name Danny. Daenerys is a dumbass. She's never done anything except that people tell her you're supposed to be queen. So she's like, I'm supposed to be queen. Like, she's not worthy of it to me. Mm-hmm. Jon Snow is much more worthy. And also, you know who else doesn't get eaten by dragons when they go close to them? Tyrion Lannister.
Mm.
Let's throw that out there as a little food for
thought. But is the distinction on whether or not you're a Targaryen the dragons wanting to eat you, or is it just you can't ride them, you can't control them unless you're a Targaryen? Could they just, since they're in the presence of Daenerys, they're not going to eat anyone?
No, I think it's touch. That's when I knew. I was like, okay, Jon is a Targaryen. In the last episode of the last season, he touched one. And they were cool.
But that happened to Tyrion, too.
Did he touch it?
I don't think he touched him.
I don't think he touched him.
I don't think it matters. I don't think the rules are if you touch it. I think they just, if they want to eat you or not.
No, I think if they allow you to touch it, or you can kind of control it that way where they're like, okay, you're good, you're cool. Because they have, I guess, the keen sense of your bloodline, maybe. How do the dragons know? Yeah.
Hey, if my dog knows 20 minutes before I'm coming home that I'm coming home, a dragon can tell who's in their family.
Yeah, that's how I figured it.
That's fine. Whatever.
All right, we jumped a little bit ahead. Let's start from the beginning of the episode.
Control your podcast, Tony. Get it under control.
Let's start from the beginning of the episode where Jon and Daenerys have come to Winterfell. And they're meeting up with Sansa, who is the Lady of Winterfell, who's the leader while Jon was gone. Arya and Bran, the last relatives of Jon Snow, and the last remaining Starks.
Well, isn't Rickon out there somewhere still around with Osha? Remember Tonks from Harry Potter and Rickon? They're out there somewhere, I think, still.
Okay, are these Harry Potter names?
Tonks in Harry Potter. Her name's Osha, I think.
I'm already 50-50 on the Game of Thrones names. You can't start calling them Harry Potter characters.
I'm pretty sure the rest of them were killed.
Osha and Rickon were killed. They took off separate, remember, from Hodor and...
those ones. Oh. Yes. Those kids.
Oh, they aren't Starks.
No. Rickon, the youngest Stark. He's younger than Bran, the little boy.
Doesn't he also have the vision? The Green Seer, whatever they call it.
Remember.
Doesn't he also have that vision?
Well, there's a kid from Love Actually, right?
Okay, Julie. Know your brand. Know my brand here. My brand is not Harry Potter or Love Actually.
But anyway, these are the Starks that we see and are now familiar with. And all of a sudden, from jump, Sansa is not with, and just generally the people of the North are not with what Dany's bringing. Even though she has dragons and the people, and she's brought an army, they are not cool with the deal that was made.
Right. Well, I mean, first of all.
Well, the deal was, if you didn't see it and you just want to listen to this podcast, Jon Snow was willing to give up his crown of King of the North in trade for the army to help protect the North from the Nightwalkers. Meaning he had to let Dany become queen of one of the Seven Kingdoms, where the North was kind of separate from the Seven Kingdoms because nobody wanted to smoke with the Northern Kingdoms for war. They were just kind of left alone. And they had their own king, Ned Stark, who died, obviously, in the first season. John was the king. He said, I don't want it. I didn't want it in the first place. I only took it because my focus is protecting the North. What? I'm willing to give it away for your army. And she gladly took it and brought her army and her dragons.
Okay, here's the thing, though. And this is why Sansa's mad at this. Mm-hmm. She saw Rob and she saw Ned make political sacrifice with their heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Starks do. John was raised a Stark. He might not be a Stark.
He's half a Stark.
No,
kind of. This is what Stark. Well, yes, half a Stark. Sure, bloodline. So Ned and Rob both made political sacrifices with their heart, not thinking with their head. Sansa, like Arya tells us, is the smartest person that she knows. Sansa knows that this isn't going to work out for us. The Starks are screwed here.
I think, first of all, it annoys me that the two prettiest women on the show have to, like, hate each other. You know, that's, like that's annoying, first of all. It's, like, a contrived plot.
What, Sansa and
it
Cersei?
It is, yeah. No, Cersei.
Cersei is not
awesome.
Even close to being the prettiest woman.
Sansa and Daenerys not liking each other. That's obnoxious. But I love that every time they have the meeting of all the people in the North, that it's Lyanna Mormont that stands up and, like, tells everybody what's what. Put her on the Iron Throne.
She's dope. I love her character. She's strong. She's smart. But it was, and I got it. I was like, okay, I understood it to a small degree. But in this world where these titles, and here's what I think.
I saw your face, by the way. I was talking about that, Shane.
About what?
About women hating each other.
No, I just, that's not, my face is reactionary.
You're looking at Tony like, here she goes.
No, I know.
It's great because you can kind of take what they were saying and what John was trying to do in terms of this title thing that people are upholding with in this country. That, look, so what if I gave up the crown of the King of the North? We all get to live. What's so hard about doing that?
They don't get the White Walker thing. Like, they don't get it.
He brought one with him.
He brought it to Cersei. Did he bring it to Winterfell? He brought it to Cersei. I don't think they've seen it. But here's the other thing.
But they believe him, though. They believe him enough to make him the King of the North, though.
But, you know, Daenerys is like a bull in a china shop, too. She walks in and she's like, bow to your queen. And, like, if she was smart.
I've never liked her.
Tyrion should be telling her. Uh-huh. You should say to people, you know what? I know that you've been independent and that I'm new and I'm walking in here. But she doesn't get any of that. She's just like, everyone else has like bent the knee to her. So why shouldn't everyone up here? And that's going to get her in trouble. Mark my words.
You don't think that she walks around with the air of legit confidence? You don't think that she's a badass? And that's the reason. Yeah.
No.
That's the reason she's able to steal these slaves away. And that's the reason she was able to get out of that place with the vault where they put the dragons in the vault.
I think... And obviously these are, in fact, we can actually kind of make comparisons to just modern politics. There's a certain mixture that you need to have to gain the trust and love and respect of the people that you're trying to be over. Daenerys only learned one aspect of that, where if I don't take control forcibly, people aren't going to respect me. And I feel like she has issues with the other side of it is sometimes you have to have a gentler hand in certain situations in order to gain the people's trust.
And remember, she started off as a political pawn for her brother, for who else? Sir Barristan Selmy was there, for all these guys. And now she's taken control and now she's actually in charge. But she didn't start out that way. And I think you're right. I feel like she's missing a huge section of like being likable, you know, which is so parallel to everything we're talking about in politics right now with women and likability. If she was a dude, would I feel this way about her? I don't know.
So she has to be a compassionate dictator, compassionate tyrant.
I'm just saying, I think it would have behooved her to say, look, I get that everyone's upset, but she doesn't get it. She just doesn't get it.
And we see that moving on a little bit further in the episode when she meets Sam in the library and wants to thank him for healing. Hold on. See if I can, if he's on this sheet. I think he is Jorah.
Sir Jorah Mormont.
Yeah, Mormont. Sam heals him in the Citadel when the others won't.
He's got that extreme chicken pox.
Yeah, that was
grayscale. Grayscale. Yeah.
That was gross. That was a gross scene. And upon receiving thanks for his bravery and actions and his just empathy, I think that's the right word, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, not sympathy, empathy.
It was returned with finding out that Daenerys kills his brother and his father. That sucked. And that sucked so bad.
Afterwards, she's just like, yikes. She's not even like, sorry about it.
Right, but again, that goes to her not having that understanding.
The compassionate
gene. Right, and I know she just kind of found out about Jon and what he is about and stuff like that, but if you didn't learn, like, good point.
That's her nephew.
Yeah. We're going to get into that. But if you didn't learn, at least in the couple months where you're traveling with John, on the type of person he is and why they made him their king, and you were like just blatantly, no, I don't care what's going on. I want what I want. I am who I am. You need to do, you need to bend the knee or else. She didn't learn that.
But that's why that scene, works. That's why it works between them, because she has learned to do everything with pure force. She's gotten everything done with force, and John compromises. So I know that nothing has ever really worked with two leaders.
Right.
You know, there aren't two popes. There aren't two presidents. But she's the forceful one, and he's the understanding one. And he's the strategist, and he thinks with his heart and not his head. There's a good balance there.
I think he thinks with his head. I think John is really smart. I do. I think he will use force if necessary, but he's not just out there trying to put it on the table. Too much?
No, I just didn't have anything else to say.
I was going to make a joke about him putting it on the table for dinner.
That's exactly my first thought was that exactly. I was like, no, we're still under the Score brand.
But yeah, and then they go out alone, going further more into the episode. He rides the dragon, which is this great scene. That they fly out. The dragons aren't eating because they don't like the cold in the Winterfell. And they fly out together and they land in some type of near waterfall, which I was reading people weren't really too happy about that scene.
Why?
They said it felt too close to John's old lover.
Egret. John and Egret.
Oh, when they make out under the waterfall?
Yeah, okay. It felt too similar.
How are they gonna make out? What are they going to do there? Everything's covered in ice. I mean, John and Egret were at least like in a grotto with like a steam jacuzzi kind of thing in there. They're like out in the snow. What are they going to do?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know how.
Don't look at me.
You can look at me.
And then we go back to what we were talking about before, the scene where the dragon is staring at John. Not really in a fierce kind of, you better not hurt her tone. It was like just intrigued from the dragon, which was really weird.
Okay, you looked at it that way because I was more in line with what Julie was saying earlier, that it's just like some stupid, playful, you're making out with my mom, that kind of thing. That's the way I saw it, but you're looking at it as, hey, I connect with you. I get you now.
Yeah. I don't want friendly dragons.
But what if that was a small sign of you're the real person we should be listening to?
We already had that sign!
Versus her.
What sign do we have?
I just felt like it was like beating it over the head. That, oh, by the way, remember, he's a Targaryen now, remember? Like, I know. Like, of the 18 months that have passed, that is one of the things I remember.
But what makes it so great is it's not only do we know through the history that he's a Targaryen, but all the other things that are confirming it, where you can't deny him. Look how he is with the dragons. Look how the dragons come to him. Look at his family history. Look at how he is as a person, his character as a person. You cannot deny what is rightfully his. And I think just that scene was kind of like helping confirm
the affirmation.
The fact. Yeah, the affirmation of it.
You know, one of the things too is, I mean, obviously all the Targaryens except for Rhaegar go crazy, right? And that's their thing. It's like madness runs in their bloodline. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like she's sort of like, Daenerys is sort of like eking closer to it with her, like, you know, bend the knee or I'm going to flame you up with my dragons kind of thing.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that she's sort of tipping closer to the edge, like when she talks to Samwell about the fact that she wiped out House Tarly in like, you know, one felt swoop, and just is sort of like, well, I'm sorry, that's what happens when you don't bend the knee. Like, I feel like she's sort of like inching closer to that precipice.
Jane?
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue putting that on record. I'm okay with her being a pure dictator.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it will be good for the story, especially as we get closer. We'll
because we're
going to
have a
later.
Fight with Danny and John soon. Well, yeah, for power.
They're going to have to.
Yes.
They're going to have to.
One of them will die.
Yeah, definitely.
Within the next few episodes.
Yeah.
Well, if it's John, people are going to riot.
if Cersei doesn't die, we riot. Yeah.
No, okay. I want Cersei. Right, nothing to do with her.
All right, we'll come back to Winterfell. Let's go back to the Southern Kingdom. Cersei, still hate her.
Yes. Yep. Hair is still short.
Still hate her. With
what's going on with her hair?
Let me speak to your manager. What's going on with her hair?
No, shame. The shame, right? They cut her hair.
Or did she
cut
her hair?
No, but
it should grow. Years
I know that's what I'm saying. It's been like a couple of years already.
Does having short hair like elude power from like a woman's standpoint? I thought that was kind of like into it, where I don't need my long hair.
I think she's not relying on her beauty anymore. She's relying on power.
You know what?
Also, Jamie's really mad at her.
I used to think she was like, well, is she smart or is she just
I think she's a survivor. I think she's a survivor. And, you know, she says in one of the earlier episodes that if she was a boy, I would be king. And she's right. And she'd be the strongest king out of any of them. Uh-huh. Tyrion's smart, but he's got flaws. Jaime's not that smart. He's just brave. Uh-huh. She's kind of got both of them.
I also think she's just lucky.
Yeah, maybe.
I think she's gotten out of a lot of things luckily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's taking my feelings, you know, taking a step back from the story. It's a great character.
I love Cersei.
It's a great character. And she plays it. I don't know what's her name
in real life,
but she's an excellent actor.
She's great. She's great. I think it's awesome to see someone so beautiful put in a role where she's just totally, just has no redeeming qualities. Mm-hmm. I love that about her character.
Yeah. And her plan now is to have the people in the north, her biggest threat, to take over the entire Seven Kingdoms from her family. She's going to have the North people fight the White Walkers and figure it out after that and fight whoever is left and willing to come down to the South, which is kind of smart if your motive is to stay in power, which it is. She doesn't want to give that up. But it's kind of short-sighted to me. It's like it should be the human race over everything, all your little petty kingdom fights and stuff like that. It should be the human race, right?
And that's part of the problem, too, that she's so willing to send an army to help protect, but she's also wants Jaime and Tyrion killed.
Yeah.
Like, why are you making deals to send an assassin, but also sending an army to protect?
She's the only one thinking, after we save the world, then what? Everybody else is sort of like, let's just save the world.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, but then if we save the world, then who gets to sit on the throne? I mean, she's always thinking about that. She's always thinking about herself.
But here's the thing. Going back to sending an army, we don't know yet if she's actually going to send them.
The Golden Company?
No, to the North.
To Winterfell. Right.
Golden Company. Yeah,
she told Tyrion that she would. Tyrion told Sansa that she would. Sansa didn't believe it. She was like, I used to think you were the most cleverest man in the world. How can you believe what she's telling you? She's not going to do it. And I'm kind of leaning towards Sansa because I just don't see the evidence.
She knows Cersei better than anybody does. She's seen the real Cersei.
But, I mean, better than her own brother?
Yeah. Tyrion's never around Cersei. Or are you talking about Jaime? Jaime might know her better.
Biblically. But I believe Sansa. I don't think she's gonna do. I think she's gonna stock up materials and supplies and her army in the Southern Kingdom in King's Landing and wait it out.
And she's done because the one white walking dragon takes out the entire kingdom. The one White Walking Dragon. They have nothing. She didn't get her elephants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did not really get her elephants. On those elephants.
Oh my gosh. She just gets done banging what's his face and was that good?
Uh-huh.
Well, I really wanted elephants. So.
Yeah. All right. Here's the next thing with
love Euron. He's the best.
What, Greyjoy?
Yes.
I hate all Greyjoys.
Well, I hate him in his mutton chops.
He's hilarious.
All the Greyjoys, I just hate them. They're so weird.
When they had that summit meeting and then they're sitting there waiting for Daenerys and he decides he's going to take like 10 minutes to just smack talk Theon while they're sitting there. He's like, hey, Theon. And he starts yelling shit at him. That was amazing. I love Theon.
I hate Theon too. I mean, obviously they're on the good side now, but still, the Greyjoys are just extremely weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, their dad was a jerk, and they live out on the edge of that sea, and little rickety bridges that people fall off. I mean,
but going back to what you were about to say, Sean.
Well, how about the quick change? Probably the most famous line in the episode: mm-hmm. "You want a whore, buyer; you want a queen, earner." And then 15 seconds later, she's banging.
Yes,
pick one.
She's stuck.
People are using that as a meme.
Yeah,
now.
She's
exactly.
stuck.
They're
she's
like,
stuck, she knows she's stuck.
They're holding this up. I'm like, what's the deal?
She can't get the Golden Company to King's Landing without Euron, and she knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's indignant about the fact that she has to give him what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows she has to, because it's the only thing way she can get it done.
So is he going to put a prince in her belly?
I think there's one already there, isn't there?
Jamie
said to her
there.
Last... Yeah. Whose kid?
Jamie.
Is it Jamie? When's the last time she and Jamie had sex?
I don't know, but I'm under the impression
one of the
that
last
she's got...
two episodes, I think I remember that thing.
Yeah, he came back around in the season finale.
Yeah. He didn't want to do it. And as she's like finding this courage to be and take over, she's like, all right, I even own you now.
Exactly.
So let's get this done.
I don't remember that at all.
Yep.
Okay.
Season finale of 7, I think.
Yeah. So there's already one there, though, we think. Because Tyrion said in the last episode, he's like, you're pregnant. And then she didn't deny it or acknowledge it.
Yep. The mountain still looks weird.
Yeah, do you think he smells? I bet he smells terrible.
Like the mountain or just the character?
No, the character, like that's why she drinks so much. She's got this rotting corpse hanging out next to her.
I think he's got a pretty good sense of hygiene.
Yeah.
I think he takes care of himself.
He's an uncomfortable shade of gray.
What if he's the most cleanliest person there?
Might be.
That'd be hilarious. Septon.
So that's basically what's going on down in the Southern Kingdom. She's plotting to protect her seat on the Iron Throne. She's gathering up the Greyjoys, who send their fleet of ships under the assumption that they get to be next to the throne and make an heir.
And let's not forget that Theon left to go fight with the Starks.
Yeah.
Theon left for Winterfell. That I thought that was big.
Yeah, it was. I mean, how many people do they have, though, to help? That's the thing.
Well, I mean,
most of their fleet is at King's Landing. So it's like, I mean,
yeah, I don't know what the Greyjoys are doing. But there's like 12 of them.
But I mean, he did kind of screw them over though too. So,
but he also came and got his sister out.
Yeah, but
so he did him a favor, and then she did him a favor.
But still, like
Tony, he doesn't even have a penis. He's not doing much.
And it's like he can't.
And everyone reminds him of it constantly.
Yeah.
Everybody's constantly making jokes about the fact he doesn't have a penis.
The Unsullied don't complain.
No, they don't. they don't know the sense of loss of a penis.
Well,
They've never had one.
What are Grey Worm and Missandei doing?
Thank you. I was so confused by that.
How is this going to work?
Eye contact. It's just really good eye contact.
I mean, maybe it's some mental. Maybe you have some type of mental.
They're necking.
Going on.
Okay. Yeah, that's what my parents would say. God. That's the worst word ever.
All right. Going back to Winterfell, Jon has a small conversation with Sansa in the private quarters of the kingdom. And Sansa makes it plain, I don't like her. And you shouldn't have given up King of the North. We made you King of the North when you left and you came back, you know, bending the knee. And To a small degree, we went over this a little bit earlier, I get the pride aspect of your clan and your people. You hold yourself up to this high standard. You've been living this way for a long time, and now you're bending the knee for some reason. But still, I side with John on this. I want to live. So what isn't Sansa getting, in your opinion?
Well, I think you go back to John doing it halfway because now he's with her. He's with Dany romantically. Mm-hmm. They're a thing. And Sansa, That's why I go back to what I said earlier with all the Stark men thinking with their heart. Mm-hmm. He's doing it more so because now they are a thing. He escaped all the wildlings, and he went against them because he was with, what's her name? The one he's married to.
Ygritte.
Yeah. He did that with his heart. He left, I think, the North with his heart. It's always a love thing for him. And the reason that he's not seeing what Sansa is seeing is because he's in love with his aunt.
Love yourself first, John.
Exactly.
Learn exactly. to love yourself.
Exactly. And this is after, well, this scene, but he's still with Dany after finding out she's his aunt. What are you doing?
John, do you have one of those friends that just can never be alone? They go from like boyfriend to boyfriend or girlfriend to girlfriend to girlfriend. That's Jon Snow. He can't be alone. He can't be alone.
I mean, but...
besides the fact that he's had sex 2 times in his life.
You got to... I mean, but you got to understand, with Dany. Though, even though he was with his family, Ned knew, but even if they didn't know it, he was still considered an outcast.
Yeah, because Caitlin was terrible.
His father Catelyn, loved him.
Sorry.
Yeah,
and Catelyn Stark.
Small surprise, I wasn't too mad when she died.
No, me either. Wait, I don't think you're supposed to be.
She's the one who died in the Red Wedding, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was my favorite.
She screwed everything up. She gave Rob the worst advice in the world.
Yeah. She was still I turned my mic off. She was my favorite Stark.
Oh,
really?
No.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. She's so pretty. I thought she was just such a good mom, except for the one piece of bad advice she gave
Rob. Yeah, I mean, and I like
that
Rob.
That killed everybody.
And I like Rob. I was talking to Adam Straczynski.
I didn't like Rob either.
I was talking to Adam Straczynski, who's read the books, producer Adam Straczynski, and he was saying, like, the television show made Rob more likable than he is in the books. You read the books, Julie.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think one of the things that's really interesting about the whole series is that there's always like the people who are supposed to be on the throne or supposed to be the head of the family. Mm-hmm. And I think you find out a lot of times that the people who are further down the line are far more suited for those jobs than the people that they keep pushing forward because they're the oldest son or whatever. I think Cersei's a great example of that. I think Jon's a great example of that. Sansa. I mean, it's all the people that you...
What happened to Theon? Like, he was taken... He was basically a... In my opinion, he
seemed... Samwell Tarly'd him.
He seemed lower than Jon on the totem pole, but he seemed like he didn't turn out all that great.
No. Well, because the Ironborn are crazy. And he's just a brat. Yara's way tougher than he is.
Yeah. Definitely.
Definitely.
But
can I say something?
I
want to say something about Gendry. Can we get to Gendry?
Okay,
Gendry, whatever his name is. I think there's a
him and Arya.
Yes. Gendry, what are we calling him?
I think Gendry.
Gendry.
Yeah. Gendry.
All right. They could have so he is Robert Baratheon's son. Remember, this is the whole thing from the first two seasons, like the black over the gold or whatever it is, the dark over the light, whatever. They could have easily just had us forget about him. And just never mention him again. And I don't think people would have necessarily remembered. He's back for a reason.
It took me a while to figure out.
He might wind up on the throne.
I'm looking at it even simpler. I think he's just the Arya love interest. She cannot wait to jump his bones.
But he doesn't know he's a Baratheon. Nobody knows he's a Baratheon yet.
Wait, who knows?
Nobody.
How did we find out?
Somebody knows.
Well, John Arryn knew, right? Remember he died in the first episode? He was the Hand of the King.
Mm-hmm.
He knew, and that's why he was killed. And I don't remember if it was like Cersei or if it was Tywin Lannister that had him killed, but he knows that Jaime and Cersei were. And so he knows that Gendry, he knows that if all those kids are blonde, that means they're not Robert's kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how we found out Gendry was his kid.
Okay.
But he is.
But I do remember that he is Robert Baratheon's illegitimate kid. Arya, your thoughts on Arya?
Bad hair.
Way too thin.
Really?
Put some conditioner in there, girl. Pump up the volume.
I mean, who doesn't love Arya? I mean, she's a great character.
She's
people are naming their kids Arya. I mean, but the hair's got to go.
I thought she could have played the mini face god a little bit better. I feel like she could have gotten out of that kind of unscathed. But I think maybe later in the season we're going to find out that the mini face god does not play games like that.
The kind of off topic, but on Arya. The city of Chicago has a very good Arya cosplayer that does all of the pop-up bars.
Really?
Keep matching with her on Bumble. I can't stop. Should I match with her again and bring her in?
Yes.
This is content.
Seriously.
Content over everything.
What are we doing here, Shane?
I matched with her a few times, unmatched her a couple times, and then I saw her at the replay Linkin Park pop-up. I know this is very off-topic, but it's somewhat related.
She read through
awkward.
Your entire extremely long bio.
Okay, so I'm here to weed out the dumb ones.
I know.
Okay. All right, sorry, Tony. I just thought that was relative. Go ahead.
I thought it was relative.
But yeah, I am a fan of Arya. Her relationship with Jon is cool.
She's got a good relationship with everybody. She really does.
Well, now.
She's even got a good relationship with the Hound. He's like, he left me for dead.
Right? I think it's respect, yeah.
No, I think he genuinely has affection for her.
Really? Even after what she did to him?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Hmm. I think he sees himself in her. She's a survivor.
Okay.
You think Arya dies? I think she dies.
I think so, too. I think soon.
Yeah. I think she's going to be one of the first people to die.
I don't want that to happen. All right. Well, I mean, I didn't really think about it until now. Mm-hmm. That will suck.
Well, I think she's going to die because the weapon that Gendry's making her is going to malfunction. The plans that she brought to him, I think something is going to go wrong with that weapon, and then she's going to die based off that battle.
Okay.
I know that might be a stretch.
Okay. One person that we did not talk but is extremely important is Bran. Bran, I laughed every time there was a scene. Because there's always that one scene in movies where it's that person always watching, like menacingly in a weird place.
Like in The Simpsons, the dog with the eyes that goes back and forth.
Yeah, he just kept popping up, rolling up and stuff like that. I'm like, you are one weird dude now, aren't
you? He was such a cute kid, and he grew into such a weird-looking teenager, and now they're stuck with him, sitting there just staring at people because they can't recast him.
Get the kid a wheelchair ramp. Get him out of the courtyard.
The whole thing must be ramped up. He rolls everywhere.
But we've never seen him not in the courtyard. That's what I'm saying. The courtyard is ground level, and then there are wooden stairs to everything. He's only ever been in the courtyard. It's like they don't want to lift him up. No more Hodor.
Hodor's gone.
Yeah, Hodor's gone. Find another Hodor. All these people around. They
the Hound is around now. He can lift him up.
He's a DJ in real life, Hodor. He's very good.
Is he really?
Yeah, Saturday night he DJed a club in Cleveland to kick off Game of Thrones.
How many times do you think people yell hold the door during the
disgusting amount of times.
But yeah, Bran.
That would have been the best episode of the entire series.
Bran has.
Yeah,
when we finally found out why it was Hodor, that was like.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Okay, but on Bran, maybe the most important scene, maybe not most important, in the episode was Bran and Jaime seeing each other. Mm-hmm. And Bran's not really giving any other reaction than he's given all episode, but Jaime, I pushed him out a window.
Jaime looks like crap now, too.
I think he looks better.
Yeah. I mean, he's lived a hard life. Nicholas, are you kidding me?
I mean, he's never going to look bad, but he's, you know, he looks pretty haggard.
Yeah, he's had a hard life. He's done a lot
He's had a hard life. He's a Lannister.
Karma. Karma weighs on you.
That's not how karma works.
Yes, it does. No. It weighs on your face.
it weighs on your beautiful golden hair turning gray.
It literally brings your face down. But Bran, I thought he was a jerk.
Bran?
Yeah, in the beginning.
He's a jerk.
Yeah, when John's like, I haven't seen you guys in so long. I freaking love you guys. Hugs, kisses. He's like, thank you. Brother, he's like, you know, my brother.
You lost your dragon. We got to do something. Right.
Bran's like, dude.
Bran's like you're like the kid who goes away to college, studies psychology, and then comes back and is like, I know everything about everyone in my family now. You know, like that obnoxious, like I know everything because I've been to 1 year of college. That's Bran.
Well, it's because Bran knows that Jon isn't his brother, but he hasn't told Jon yet.
But he's still his family, though.
Big deal.
Yeah, I know, but there's a tension there. Bran doesn't know that Jon now knows that he's not really a full-blood Stark.
Yeah.
He's part Targaryen.
He's not a half-blood Stark.
In his conversation with Sam, Bran's conversation with Sam, I kind of got it, but I think Jon would have taken the news, too, if Bran told him. Because Jon still thinks, obviously, that that's his brother.
Yeah, no reason why Bran hasn't told him.
Right.
I feel like Sam is the every person in dealing with all these people. He's always just backing out of the room like, okay, that was weird. Like, I feel like that's how all of us would be if we were just walking around Winterfell having to deal with these people.
Yeah, but I thought Bran was really, weird throughout the episode, just rolling up. Roll the window downstairs.
It's been weird ever since he fell out the window.
Yeah. I mean, I guess falling out of a window, getting pushed out of a window would kind of mess up the psyche.
Yeah.
And also paralyze you.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would suck. RP Bran's legs. So we get to the biggest scene of the episode. Sam finds Jon in the, I don't know what they would call it. Is it a cemetery?
To the crypts?
The crypts of the Starks.
Yeah.
And Jon is obviously standing next to the Ned one.
I call it Monument Park. like Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Which looks, the Ned one looks shockingly like Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah.
The rest of them are all kind of generic.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, it's Sean Bean. Cool.
So obviously you have this warm embrace. They were brothers in arms at the wall, taking the oath of the black
crows.
I was going to say people, but
no, stop. What do they call them?
The crows. The Night's Watch.
Night's Watch.
Night's Watch. The Night's Watch. Watch. Night's Watch.
And they managed to both come out, leave the wall. If you leave the wall, you are supposed to die. They've managed to skirt all of that, and now they found each other, and now they're happy. And Sam lays him on the news that Daenerys is his aunt. To me, he had the quote of the episode where he's like, you left and were willing to lay down your crown to save the kingdom. Can Daenerys do the same thing? And I was like, they are going to have to kill each other.
She can't.
Or fight.
She can't.
And that's the thing. If you think that you are this pristine, chosen person, where you're meant to lead and meant to have this high authority, you also, and she believes in the family thing where, no, I was born to have this. So by her own rules, she would have to secede the title to Jon. By her own standard of who should be king or queen in this case, she has to go by what she believes.
They ever going to convince her, though? I mean, the only reason we saw it is because Bran did that weirdo, you know, back in time thing, and we saw Sir Arthur Dayne fighting with young Ned, and we saw, you know, Lyanna Mormont.
How are they going to prove it, though?
Because Sam has it in the books.
In the diaries.
Yeah, he's got it in the diaries. Right. Yeah, they have it on paper.
Did they take that one? Well, Gilly's the one that found it.
Yeah.
Right, that's the one that he took from the Citadel. Yeah. That he's saying, well, I'd like a pardon. I took these books, and Daenerys says, fine, go ahead. Take your pardon.
There it is.
Don't worry about it. Your pardon. She pardoned him for taking the diaries that say that Jon is a Targaryen.
But you can say there is a Targaryen. How do you prove that he's the Targaryen? The Targaryen.
I'm sure 23andMe or something. I don't know.
So you're going to have to get Tyrion involved in this. But
cheek swabs.
That's when all the thoughts of, again, scene-setting episode.
Wait, was that the final scene?
No. The final scene third to last or second to last.
Okay, because I'm like, I feel like we're missing a big scene.
Okay, you go. What's the scene?
When they go to the last hearth, right? The little Umber, Lord Umber, who's like 8 years old.
Oh, yeah.
They send him to the last hearth, and Sansa's like, bring your people. And so he goes. And then, you know, he disappears. They never hear from him. None of the Umbers come, and none of the Bannermen come. So they go up there, and there's Tormund Giantsbane, who is at the wall. There's Beric Dondarrion with his flaming sword. All those guys that are up there. Mm-hmm. And they walk into the room, and they find the little Lord Umber stapled to the wall with all the weird arms and legs around him.
Yeah.
And he's a White Walker, which freaked me out when he started screaming. I was just like,
That kid's a good actor.
Well,
he's a good screamer.
Yeah, he's a good screamer. I mean, that's what kids do.
I really believe it.
But here's the big thing for me. When you back up off all those things that the Night Walkers make when they kill people like that, that looks a lot like the Targaryen sigil with the three heads and then the three tails.
So now we've got to wonder,
is the Night King a Targaryen? Aerys?
Ever since the last episode, I've always like, well, Bran is the Night King.
How could he be the Night King?
I still think he is.
I don't know
I
how.
You have to be a way. Dead person to be the Night King.
Yeah, I think he is dead.
You think Bran's dead? Look,
I mean, we've seen Bran do some crazy stuff. He affected the past and the future. Like before, we've seen that with like Hodor, right? He did something with Hodor, messed up his mind. And then as Hodor got older, he did what needed to be done to save Bran.
To get out of the locks.
Yeah, so he's affected like time travel and stuff like that. So I don't know how specifically, but just for me, the facial features resembles Bran when I look at the Night King.
Because maybe he's a Stark. I mean, where's Benjen Stark? Where's Benjen Stark in all this, too? I mean, we saw Benjen when he came and rescued Sam and Gilly and that whole crowd on the other side of the wall, but we haven't seen him since.
Mm.
What happened to him? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
No, I just remember him riding off for the last time.
Too many people in the show.
There's a lot of people in the show. it was harder to remember names than I thought it was going to be. That was a huge scene because we know now that the White Walkers, I thought they'd come faster.
Well, they're already like the last hearth is next stop Winterfell.
So, but they're obviously thinking, like, they're not just like zombified like things. They're smart.
Well,
they
the
have
Night
a plan.
King is thinking.
Yeah, he has in his generals, I guess.
Yeah.
They have a plan, and I'm interested in to see what the plan is, because it's not just, okay, we're just going to keep walking south and take over whatever we see or kill and add wherever we see. They, again, what they did with the kid, they were trying to show them something.
Well, every time they kill people, they leave that that spiral. But to me, if you look at the Targaryen sigil, it's three heads of a dragon and three tails facing the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. Also, the Night King rides a dragon.
Oh, wait, did he ride it?
He was riding it, wasn't he?
I don't remember him riding it. No. When the ice dragon was melting the bridge, he wasn't riding it.
He wasn't riding it? Where was he? He was somewhere else.
Yeah, he was somewhere else.
But where was he?
I don't know.
I just watched this 2 days ago.
I feel like
ago,
he was on top of a hill or something.
I don't think he was riding it, though.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Okay, then
forget
that.
Because that would have been too obvious.
Cut this part out, Tony.
No, I'm
okay, hold on. Now, speaking of that, here's something. When we do get Winterfell and all the armies versus the White Walkers, is Jon Snow going to capture the undead dragon? Is one of the Targaryens still a dragon that can be controlled?
I
think that's
by
a question we have to ask. Because the only way that the White Walkers are not going to defeat everyone else is if that dragon is taken away,
or
Cersei
dragons.
Gets her elephants. Yeah, they've got two.
But the undead dragon is.
But everybody else is still worried about that dragon.
Yeah. So I think there's going to be a moment where a Targaryen takes that dragon.
I still think Tyrion's a Targaryen.
Okay.
Are there any other Targaryen dwarfs?
I don't know, but you know, there's Tywin Lannister. Outside of him being a dwarf, Tywin Lannister never accepted him as his own son.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, there was that scene when they were still in like Slaver's Bay, where he walked in and the dragons didn't eat Tyrion. And I still think he's a Targaryen.
Okay. But yeah, so Jon knows now, and he's probably grossed out.
I don't think so.
I don't think he is. He's a weirdo, man.
People aren't nearly as upset about Jamie and Cersei as they should be.
What?
They just treat it like it's juicy gossip
They almost killed a kid over it.
Yeah, but they don't care about that kind of stuff like we care about it now. This is just an aunt and a nephew, not a brother and a sister. They don't care.
Well, yeah, I guess everybody does know because he made that joke about it, the Greyjoy. He made a joke about Jaime and Cersei.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but everybody just treats it like, oh, that's gross, and then they just move on. Not like,
it's
this
like
is
cooties.
A real problem.
Yeah.
You think Daenerys was going to have a problem with it? Or she's going to go straight to, oh, man, Jon is going to try and take my crown.
I don't think she's going to find out yet. I think it's going to be a couple, maybe 3 or 4 episodes until she even finds out.
How do you not tell her?
Because I think he still wants to bang. And if she knows, and if they both know, like, he is in love with her. He is in love with Daenerys. It's the only reason he's doing what he's doing. It's the only reason that he's not hesitant.
I think he thinks he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, I really think
But I also think that he's justifying it to himself because he's in love with Daenerys.
Right. That, yeah, okay, that says it a lot better.
Thank you, Shane.
Okay, yeah, I think you guys may be right. They may withhold that information from her.
You may be crazy.
Maybe tell everybody else around it. Maybe Sam tells other people. Because then it benefits the North then.
Yeah.
Because now, okay, Jon can be king again. And I think that's where their focus is going to be. And I think maybe the White Walkers, while they're infighting about this, here we go.
Exactly.
And then the fighting starts.
We're going to have two climaxes. We're going to have the climax of Jon finding out, or Dany finding out that Jon is a Targaryen, and the White Walkers are going to show up at the same time. And it's going to be like, okay, what the hell do we do? Whose side are we on? Who's leading this?
Yeah. And I can't wait for that. I cannot wait for that scene where she is let known about his lineage and how it's going to work out. That's going to be great.
Well, she's going to fall apart because that's her only identity. She went from being Khal Drogo's wife. She went from being Viserys' sister to Khal Drogo's wife to what she is now.
Other
and
factors.
That's the only thing she ever. That's her entire identity is wrapped up in that.
That's the sign of she's not ready to lead. Then
it's also the sign of you're kind of crazy.
Yeah.
What happened to Daario Naharis?
Who's that?
Like her boyfriend.
He died.
He did?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, I think somebody killed him.
This is the problem with going 18 months between shows.
I think
look, what happened to this guy? He's dead.
Yeah,
oh.
I'm looking at his face now. Yeah, I think somebody killed him.
He was in the Guernsey Literary and Sweet Potato Pie.
Didn't Jura kill him?
Did Jura kill him?
I thought he did.
Didn't he? Did he
I thought there was a love interest thing there. Because we all know Jorah's in love with Daenerys. I thought he killed
That's
Daario.
Also weird. What does he have?
Yeah, they've never really explained it, but in the books, Jorah's been like cast out of. So Lyanna Mormont is there as a like 8-year-old lady of whatever of Bear Island because Sir Jorah got kicked out by his dad because he was dealing in slaves to give his wife all the jewels and stuff that she wanted. Mm-hmm. So he's got a history of just falling ass over elbows for women and not being able to think straight.
Been there, bro.
All right, and the final scene, the biggest scene that's leading us into the next episode is Bran locks eyes with his attempted murderer, Jaime Lannister.
I still can't believe Jaime did that.
And Jaime was in utter disbelief, shock that the kid managed to stay alive.
He has to have heard by now that he's still alive, right?
Probably. And I think Jaime's an afterthought at this point. I think he probably dies in the next episode. Aww. There's really not much for him anymore.
But no, no.
What if he? No, Jaime's got to kill Cersei, though.
No,
I don't think he does.
His character has grown too much for him just to be killed, I think, too quickly.
Wait, I want him and Brienne to be reunited. Remember that while they were going around the country, like solving mysteries together? Mm-hmm. That was great. They got to get them back together before
he dies.
It
was a cool subplot.
Yeah, that was cool. But yeah, I don't think he's going to die. I mean, I don't know what Bran wants to do at this point because he's not really human. So I don't know if revenge is his motive anymore. And that's what made, for me, that scene interesting is because Jaime, of course, still having human tendencies, he's like, I tried to murder this kid. I'm in their home court now with all of his folks, all of his people. I'm on their block. He may want to kill me, and I just willingly strode up to Winterfell thinking it was sweet.
Well, remember the last time that Jaime was in Winterfell was the first episode when he rolled in with the lion mask on, and he was the queen's brother, and he was like the man in town. And now it's a much different situation.
I didn't make that comparison. That's a good thought.
We didn't talk about that symbolism either. The first episode 8 years ago when all the Stark kids are running around trying to get a view of the royals coming through and the opening episode of this season. Yeah. Now all the Stark kids are adults. And we have that little kid running through, and Arya splits the crowd so he can get up into the tree. I liked that symbolism a lot.
Yeah,
it was one of the first things I noticed.
Yeah, it was. I mean, this show does that a lot. It'll show you in different ways the same thing, but it subconsciously helps you remember things that it's trying to show. And I thought it was a great first episode. I know Shane was looking forward to the action, and I've heard that from a lot of people. I was talking to Chris Dickens, and he was like, oh, it sucked. There wasn't enough fighting. But I was like, you can't go right into the fighting just yet. Like,
just
you have to explain
the fighting.
Think
of what we had
last
season. We had Battle of the Bastards, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, you know, dragons. We had them taking down the wall. I mean.
But all of that was set up, though.
Yeah, I know. And I figured this was going to be a scene setter because you got to get everybody back on the same page.
And they took an extra year, right?
Yeah.
To make 9 months.
Yeah, 9 months to
usual.
Make sure this kind of goes well. So I'm trusting HBO and the directors on this.
So, right, I mean, supposedly George R.R. Martin told the showrunners how this ends.
Yeah.
So just for the first episode of the final season, who do you want on the throne at the end and who do you think winds up on the throne?
R.R. Martin has a way of allowing you believe something and then taking it away. It's been set up for a while that Jon is going to be the king or sitting on the throne. I don't think it's going to be Jon. I don't know who, but I don't think it's going to be Jon. It's too easy. Every character that we were rooting for ends up dying. I think that is a R.R. Martin staple, and I think he's going to stick with that motive. It's too simple for Jon to be, even though it may be cool seeing it, but I think it would feel for me kind of a little bit underwhelming because I know that's not how this story is supposed to play out. It's supposed to have an ending that makes you feel undecided. And that's what I'm kind of hoping for at the end, because I think that will make it the greatest show. But yeah, it'd be cool. But I'm kind of hoping that is not John.
What are the odds on Gendry?
I don't know. I feel like he's sort of been an afterthought.
And I feel like George R.R. Martin doesn't want to disappoint fans too much, so he wouldn't put somebody like Gentry on there.
I think he takes a perverse pleasure in disappointing fans.
I'm going to say I want it to be Gentry. Okay. I think it's going to be Arya. I think Arya winds up on the throne. But that means a lot of people are going to die. Everybody's probably going to have to die to get Arya.
Yeah.
Who's going to be left?
Well, Arya. I mean, there's that thing, too, of, like, chaos theory, right? Like, what if the White Walkers come down, they take everything, you know, they sweep, they kill everyone. Cersei finally gets what she wants, but everyone's dead. There's nobody left. I mean, something like that, I think, would be a really satisfying ending. I'm kind of rooting for chaos at this point.
That would be cool. I don't like Cersei, but I'd be up to seeing what leads up to getting her on the throne.
Yeah. That's actually, I think I kind of like that ending. Because again, it goes into the theme of the Game of Thrones. Everybody is playing this game to sit on the throne, but when it all is said and done, when it's humans versus whatever these things are,
it doesn't matter. Right.
So you can end up being on the throne at the end if this goes according to that theory.
Right.
But what are you the king of anyway?
There's been a lot of talk of the show as like in the books as an allegory for climate change, which I think is sort of taken it. I don't think George R. R. Martin was thinking of that.
Seriously.
But I mean, the idea of the Game of Thrones and all these people that died and everything that you went through to get to this point, and you can't fight nature anyway, and it just doesn't matter. Mm. Like, that would be a really satisfying ending.
What about Bronn? Is the only reason he's still around to take the hit out on Jaime and Tyrion? Is there any path to the throne for him?
That'll be funny.
No, he's in the Golden Company. He's not. He doesn't have any.
Everybody would hate that ending if Bronn became king.
I think I would like to see Tyrion on the throne at the end. And it feels like in so many ways the books are Tyrion's story.
Mm-hmm.
But the show doesn't feel like it's necessarily Tyrion's story the way the books do.
Well, maybe he's. I didn't read the books, but I think it would be cool that if in that vein. Maybe it's Tyrion writing all this from his account of all of this that's going on in the end. Like he's telling this story, like he seemed like he's telling the story in the book. He's telling the story in the show. And at the end, he writes out what happened.
Or old fat Samuel Tarly writes out what happened.
I can see both of those things.
But
Gilly, because she can read and write now.
Yeah.
Everyone else is dead.
But yeah, I think we covered everything in the first episode, guys.
I think so.
Expectations for this upcoming season.
There's going to be a lot of blood, especially in this next episode, because we basically got
I feel like it's the final season of The Sopranos, where it's like, just get ready to say goodbye to everybody that you love, because they're going to get picked off one by one.
Yep.
Okay.
Remember when Bobby Bacala got it in The Sopranos? That's how I feel like this whole season is going to go.
There's going to be one per episode, one favorite character per episode gone.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm trying to get mentally prepared for it because, like, yeah, it's been a while since you've seen the show, but as soon as that music comes on, and as soon as I may not remember all of their names, but as soon as those faces pass across the screen, it's like you're automatically sucked back in into the story and connected to these characters because you remember. You know, all the connecting points that you had with them, either bad or good.
One question, yes or no, before we end. Do you watch it with subtitles or no?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm a no. I like the organic feel.
I miss too much.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I work in radio and I'm deaf.
Yeah. I want to make sure I don't miss anything said.
Okay.
Is why I watch it with subtitles.
Yeah. And there's too many words that are like weird that you're like, wait, what did, you know, like, especially like the Targaryens, like they all have similar sounding names. So I feel like I need to read it to make sure that I'm.
Mm-hmm. I grew up with a grandpa with an extremely thick Irish brogue, so maybe that's why I don't watch it with subtitles. Maybe I am Game of Thrones.
I've started watching everything with subtitles. Do you guys do that too?
I think that's serial killer stuff. Everything with subtitles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even like an American show.
Yeah. Because you miss stuff otherwise.
But I also worry about, like, am I too busy looking at the bottom of the screen and I'm not looking at everything else around the screen.
Exactly.
You got to get good at flicking your eyes back and forth.
Okay. All right. But I think it was a successful first episode. whatever this is going to be. Can we use the music?
I mean, no, not, absolutely not.
What if
you
I
can't.
Just, I really? Can't hum the music?
No, not even that.
Sorry.
Really? But we're not getting paid.
But it doesn't matter. It's all copyright.
We just went through this, Tony. Seriously.
It's all copyright. Yeah, the Bulls podcast. You had to redo an entire episode, Tony.
Yeah. Man, I hate copyright rules. Stupid. They get in the way of creativism. Is that a word?
Creativity?
Creativity.
No, it's not.
You were in between creationism and creativity.
It's stealing other people's creativity.
We just want to use it for a minute.
All right. Oh, nice. But thank you guys for checking out the first episode of our review of Game of Thrones. There should be a name in the title. I don't know it yet. It'll come out eventually. But again, you're going to hear a lot of school personalities, maybe some new ones that you're not really familiar with. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time. Please make sure you share with your friends and share with your family members who are interested in Game of Thrones. We're gonna go in depth into every scene and thing through this last and final season of Game of Thrones. I wish I would have thought of this earlier. Like, we could have been setting this up for like seasons. It would have been great.
It's okay.
Yeah, but it's fine. But we're here now. Maybe we'll do another show after this is done. But it's gonna be hard because no show hits like this one. So, all right. Thanks a lot for listening. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.